Well, my good friend and neighbor, this is Phil Nee saying happy trails to you until we talk again later. Next hour with our community conversation on The Morning Show. News from ABC is sponsored this hour by Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, serving Southwest Wisconsin since 1889, and the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, and video games. We're at 62 degrees.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Biden outlining his reasons for stepping aside in the 2024 election. He held an Oval Office address last night. ABC's Mary Bruce is at the White House this morning.
The president coming before cameras, explaining to the American people his remarkable decision to pass that torch. It is a move that not only will preserve his legacy, but now define it. Now, the president did make no mention, though, of how he got to this moment. No mention of those concerns about his age and mental sharpness that led so many Democrats to question his ability to serve another term. The president did make clear to do more to tackle reproductive rights, and perhaps more than all, he wants to get out the vote for Kamala Harris.
Harris and Biden will meet with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu separately today. Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump will meet with Netanyahu tomorrow. The bodies of five hostages retrieved from Gaza. The IDF says all five were killed October 7th. First Lady Jill Biden has arrived in Paris. She is greeting American athletes ahead of the Paris Olympics. This is ABC News. A former Uvalde School District police officer scheduled to be arraigned for his role in the law enforcement response to the 2022 Robb Elementary School shooting.
Nearly 400 law enforcers responded to Robb Elementary School on May 24, 2022, but waited over an hour to confront and kill the gunman. Officer Adrian Gonzalez was among them and now faces 29 felony counts of abandoning and endangering a child. Brett Cross's son was one of the victims.
Adrian Gonzalez literally passed by the shooter and did nothing to stop him.
Former Uvalde School Police Chief Pete Arredondo has pleaded not guilty to 10 counts of abandoning and endangering a child. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau announcing the deployment of the country's National Guard to Alberta this morning as wildfires continue to scorch the province there. At least 25,000 are under evacuation orders. After more than 50 years, Southwest Airlines has announced today they are doing away with the open seating model. They say changing customer preference. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
The old saying, the more things change, the more they stay the same, sure applies to the Phoenix Center. The bowling alley has been the go-to for good times and great food for generations in Richland County. It's where good friends become better friends and good times become awesome memories. From a delicious pizza to bowling to a conversation over your favorite drink, the Phoenix Center in Richland Center is the right choice every time. The Phoenix Center. Call 649-7469.
There will never be a time when we don't encourage pre-planning. This is Mark Jelenic of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service. Our staff has years of experience getting to know families and incorporating their loved ones' hobbies, activities, interests, and unique requests into meaningful and memorable services. Don't ever hesitate to make a request because you think it might be too out there. We are honored to work with you to create a service that truly reflects and celebrates your loved one's individual life journey at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service.
A high of 80 today with sunshine, tonight mainly clear, patchy fog again, and a low of 56. Friday sunshine continues and a high of 82. Saturday 86, partly cloudy, breezy, and warm conditions. Sunday 86 with isolated showers or thunderstorms. And for Monday 84, again with scattered showers and thunderstorms likely. On the Wirtz floor and home thermometer today, we're at 63 degrees after a low of 58. The morning show is coming up next.
Donald Trump brags he nominated the justices who overturned Roe v. Wade, getting rid of the constitutional right to abortion.
Well, I did something that nobody thought was possible. I got rid of Roe v. Wade. For 54 years, they were trying to get Roe v. Wade terminated, and I did it, and I'm proud to have done it.
Donald Trump not only took away abortion rights, he wants to monitor pregnant women and punish those who seek an abortion. Just listen.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion? Yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah.
Banning abortion, monitoring, and punishing women. That's how far Trump might go in a second term. Visit abetterwisconsintogether.org/TrumpMonitor to tell Donald Trump his views on abortion are too extreme for Wisconsin. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
No need to travel for exceptional care. At Gunderson Basketball, we collaborate with other providers and healthcare systems to deliver safe, effective treatment plans close to home. Whether you need specialized IV medications such as chemotherapy or antibiotic therapy, port or PICC maintenance, or blood product transfusions, we make it easier to get the personalized care you need. Gunderson Basketball, bringing love plus medicine and outpatient nursing services to you.
Get ready for the Iowa County Ducks Unlimited event Friday, August 2nd, 2024. Join us at Dodger Bowl 318 King Street, Dodgeville. Doors open at 5:30. Enjoy delicious roast beef and pulled pork sandwiches, hors d'oeuvres, and free tab beer while supplies last. Win big with the Shotgun of the Year, a Browning Maxis 2 Ultimate, and the Handgun of the Year, Kimber 1911 KW Custom. Get more with Duck Bucks. Buy a $100 package and receive $120 worth of tickets. Register by July 29th for a chance to win a $120 Duck Buck card. Register at iowacountydu.org and don't miss out.
Today's specials are country and community from the WRCO studios, sponsored by Richland Family Restaurant.
Welcome to our morning show on WRCO Radio. Haley Heinzel, the 77th Alice in Dairyland, is in the studio today with us. And it's so nice to meet you, Haley.
Yeah, it's nice to meet you. Thanks for having me on.
Just a couple of weeks ago, we said farewell to Ashley Haganow, who is the 76th Alice. We said so long to her, but she assured us that we were going to be in good hands with our next Alice.
I sure hope so. I have some big shoes to fill, but thankfully, I have 76 other great role models to look up to.
Absolutely. Growing up, did you know a lot about Alice in Dairyland and that program?
Not at all. So I'm originally from Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. And like many of our listeners, I did not grow up on a farm, actually. I'm not the first Alice to do so, but I am the first one in quite some time. I really noticed a disconnect with my food and kind of wondering where my food came from. And that curiosity is really what fuels my passion and drives my passion for agriculture. In 2018, I joined FFA, the Future Farmers of America, and milked a cow for the very first time. And that is what really set my life towards learning everything I can about the agriculture industry. 6 years later, I'm still continuing to learn something new every time I step onto a farm. About 2 years ago is actually when I found out about the Alice in Dairyland program. I was working at the Wisconsin State Fair, sharing all about our state's 45.6 billion-dollar dairy industry when I got to meet 75th Alice in Dairyland, Taylor Schaefer. We milked cows together on the news, and I just fell in love and thought she had the coolest job I'd ever seen. And I spent the next 2 years learning all about what it means to be Alice. And then in May, I was selected to be the 77th Alice this year.
When you're milking cows, were you milking by hand then?
So there are parts of the process that are done by hand, but the majority of the work is done by a machine, thankfully.
Okay. Oh, that's awesome. So then tell us a little bit about your background in high school. Are you involved in a lot of extracurriculars?
So I was mainly involved in the Future Farmers of America. I served as our chapter's historian and reporter. So I did a lot of work with the media and sharing the story of Oconomowoc FFA. We are the last FFA chapter in Waukesha County. So it's a very urban area, and we're still trying to keep that connection to agriculture strong, even with the more urban audience we have.
Yeah, that's hard for us to believe out here in the rural area, because each of our area high schools have really strong FFA chapters.
Yes, and it is unfortunate to see that shift towards a more urban type of thing going on in Oconomowoc, but our FFA chapter, I've recently visited with them, and they are still going strong, and I think they've got about 30 students enrolled in the program. And so they're doing really well. They've put up a new greenhouse since I graduated in 2019, so I know that they are doing well.
Did you go to National FFA at that time?
I went to the National FFA convention in my senior year, and then I also was able to go. I'm a graduate of the University of Wisconsin-Madison's Farm and Industry Short Course Program, and I was in the last class before they canceled the program in 2022, and I went on behalf of that program to speak about UW-Madison. So I've been to National FFA convention twice.
Okay. And when you were there, were you involved in Babcock Hall and all of the ice cream and things like that that we think of when we go there?
Yes. So during my time in my bachelor's degree at UW-Madison, I just recently graduated in May with my degree in life sciences communications. I was involved in the Babcock House Student Cooperative, which is the house that was founded by Dr. Stephen Babcock when he was there as a professor. When he passed away, he willed his house to the university to be used for low-income agricultural students. And so I was able to really be a part of the big dairy history that is there at UW-Madison. And of course, I would stop at the Babcock Dairy Store whenever I had time in between classes.
I don't blame you. Tell me about the contest, the Alice in Dairyland pageant, and what were some of the things that you had to do to be maybe even selected to be on the final four or five that night?
Yes, so Alice, well, she has roots in pageantry, and you know, I wear the tiara and sash. That's just part of the tradition of the Alice in Dairyland program. The modern day Alice is a public relations and marketing communications professional, and so the process to become Alice, they say, is the most rigorous but rewarding job interview you'll have in your whole life. It's about a 5 to 6 month process. I began my application in January, had a preliminary interview, was eventually accepted as one of the top 6 candidates, and I was announced at a press briefing in early March. The next 2 to 3 months are spent, you know, getting ready, learning more about the Alice in Dairyland program, how to be the best agricultural advocate you can be, and learning about the program partners. And then in May, we have the 3-day partially public job interview. This year, it was in Door County, so that was a lot of fun. There was some industry tours, media visits, and public speeches. And then at the end of that, the 77th Alice was selected, and that was me.
That is crazy. What were some of the things that they would ask you in a job interview setting, so to speak?
Lots of questions about, okay, so if somebody comes up to you at a county fair, how would you respond to this question? Or what are your passions in agriculture? Why do you want to be in the position of Alice? And so there's a lot that goes into becoming Alice and getting to perform that role, because as the official ambassador of agriculture for the state of Wisconsin, you never know what question is coming through the door.
I know you were probably well versed in it, but you're probably learning something every day. Do some of the products that are produced in Wisconsin, when you find out more about that, does it surprise you?
Yes, there's so much more than dairy in America's dairy land. I'm really proud to be an ambassador not only for our dairy and cheese products, but also for beef cattle, swine, hogs, and Christmas trees, cranberries. We're a high producer in corn and ethanol. And so there's so much here within Wisconsin, and I'm very proud to be able to showcase that diversity all across our state.
You've already started a little bit of a whirlwind tour. Is that kind of laid out for you month by month where you're going to go?
Yes and no. You know, some things we add to the calendar day of. I love impromptu visits. I just dropped in at Organic Valley this morning, kind of unannounced. So that's kind of fun. Other things like the State Fair are planned every year. We always know Alice is going to be at State Fair. Alice is going to be at this event. Alice will be at that event. I'm really excited to be at World Dairy Expo in October and, you know, doing our campaigns. That's kind of mapped out for me. But a lot of it is also flexible. I get to do different things. Each Alice is a little bit different.
So State Fair is coming up too. Are you there several days?
I will be there all 11 days from August 1st through the 11th. If anyone sees me in my tiara and sash, wave me down. I'm happy to say hi and take pictures.
So you're walking through the grounds and, you know, being there for the beef shows and the dairy shows and all
that?
Yep.
I'm excited to get to speak with junior exhibitors. I'll also be found in Dairy Lane twice a day. Oh, actually, you know what? 3 times a day. I'll be there for about an hour visiting with fairgoers. I'll also be doing a cow milking demonstration and a goat milking demonstration. And so I'm very excited to kind of get to really meet and talk with those fairgoers who have those more urban backgrounds and show them that agriculture is for everyone in the state of Wisconsin.
So you can relate, Haley, because you didn't grow up on a farm. There are a lot of the people that are coming through the fair that have probably never been around dairy animals.
Yes. For me, growing up, the fair was how I was able to get involved with the agriculture industry. I remember sitting in those metal bleachers watching the the milking demonstrations. And then eventually I got to do them. And now I get to lead them, which is very exciting and very full circle for me. I also love getting to work with those youth exhibitors and showcase their projects, because there's so much hard work into it that we don't even realize happens behind the scenes. And that is, for a lot of people, their only exposure to swine or beef or dairy.
What is your favorite state fair food, by the way?
Oh, boy. I get asked this question a lot, and it is a really hard answer, but I would have to say probably the cream puffs. You know, a great cream puff starts with great Wisconsin dairy, and so when we're eating those cream puffs at the state fair, we're also supporting our state's 6,000 dairy farmers. 95% of those farms are family-owned.
It's interesting because we hear all the time about some new wild concoctions and foods and fried this and fried that. But I think the cream puff is kind of the staple, isn't it?
Cream puff is a classic. And as Alice, I'm very excited. I'll get to be taking a tour of the cream puff pavilion and getting to make some of those classic, iconic cream puffs. And there's also, I think, a celebrity cream puff eating contest that I'm looking forward to.
Oh, you get to be involved in that, do you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. So, what about goals for the year? Do you set goals?
Oh, yes. I have a lot of things that I want to hit while I'm Alice. Some of them are a little silly, like, oh, I want to tour this farm or that farm. And some of them are some bigger goals for the program in general. I'm really working hard on expanding our social media reach. I love what Ashley did with the program, expanding us into new media markets and doing a lot with TV and radio. And I'm really looking at expanding how we can reach people outside of the state of Wisconsin with social media.
Right, exactly, because I think that becomes more apparent as time goes by, that's how you reach especially the younger people, isn't it?
Yes, and this year, Ashley did a lot. We expanded, especially on Facebook. We have 17,000 followers. If you don't follow Allison Dairyland, you should on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. But I think we could get a lot more followers on Instagram. I'm working on doing more video content, which is very popular right now.
It's a one-year program, and I know talking to Ashley recently, too, that year goes by pretty quickly, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's been, you know, only 2 weeks or so, and it's been very fast already.
During the month of July, we're celebrating ice cream. That's a fan favorite of a lot of folks, isn't it?
Yes, July is National Ice Cream Month. This was started in 1984 by President Ronald Reagan as a way to really celebrate that start of summer. You know, the heat's turning up, so let's get some ice cream out of the freezers and cool down. And when we are eating local Wisconsin ice cream, there's 46 dairy plants in Wisconsin producing frozen dairy and novelty products. And when we're supporting those dairy plants, we're also supporting our state's dairy farmers.
What's your favorite flavor of ice cream?
I also get asked this question a lot, and it is also very hard. For the last few weeks, I've been eating ice cream every single day, and I'll tell you, every day goes by, it gets harder and harder to pick a new flavor off the menu. I really love any flavors that involve fruit. I love Blue Moon. You know, that's a big Midwest favorite. Anything that has nuts or caramel or chocolate, really delicious. But honestly, the cherry on the sundae for me is a homemade fresh waffle cone.
There you go. Now, here's my pet peeve when I order ice cream is I love it again with nuts. So many times they're not salted. Mm-hmm. I can't understand why that is, Haley, because it's the sweet and the salt that's why you add nuts to ice cream.
Yeah. Speaking of sweet and salty, I just got to try a brand new flavor down at the University of Platteville. They are working on a maple bacon ice cream, which is a great way to combine our love for swine and ice cream. And it was delicious.
I bet. So there's some salty with the bacon.
Oh, yeah.
And then the I bet that's delicious.
It was very good.
Yeah. So there's, I didn't realize that Platteville had flavors like that.
They have their own creamery as well. So if you're over on this side of the state, Platteville's a great way to support the dairy industry. You know, Babcock and Madison and River Falls too, our other agricultural campus way up north, also has their own creamery.
Right. So then you're going to be learning about, again, products all over the state. We aren't too far away from the Warren's Cranberry Festival.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that as well.
I bet you'll be there.
Oh, I will be, yes.
Lots of parades along the way, too.
And, I know I have a couple, for sure. I have one coming up on Labor Day weekend in Crawford County. That's the host county for next year's Allison Dairyland Finals. And so, yeah, hopefully I'll be seeing you guys in some parades and stuff throughout the year.
Yeah, I heard that. Crawford County will be the site of the Alice contest next year, so we'll be hearing a lot about it because that's in our listing area.
Yes, absolutely.
Too. Where were you crowned this year?
This was in Door County.
In Door County.
Yes.
Yeah, that's not a hard place to travel to either, is it?
No, it was a lot of fun, and you know, I had never been to Door County before the Alice Finals, and getting to see just how different it is geographically from where I was from. And I can say exactly the same about Crawford. You know, I'm a flatlander over in Oconomowoc. And so the Driftless area is just gorgeous. And in these areas where they're so geographically different, they can have so many different types of agriculture. You know, in for Door County, as an example, they have those cherries because of the wind off the lake. They have a bit of a different climate than we have, you know, in other parts of the state. Here, apples really thrive down in this corner of the state.
They do. I've said it before, when you get to Door County, sometimes, you know, you close your eyes, it's hard to realize that that's Wisconsin.
Yes, it almost feels like you're on the East Coast
right.
Sometimes.
Exactly. So that's the beauty of our state, I think, is a little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything, you know, in our geography and in our agriculture industries.
Most definitely. So in terms of recipes, do you have any specialties?
Yes. So the recipe I'm featuring this month is a blueberry no-churn mascarpone ice cream. So mascarpone cheese, for those unfamiliar, it's a little like cream cheese, a little sweeter, kind of more decadent. With that, you're going to mix some sweetened condensed milk, heavy whipping cream, and I like to flavor with blueberries, but you could do chocolate syrup, you could do Oreo cookies. Freeze, scoop, you're ready to enjoy. I've tried some crazy foods that I wouldn't expect cheese to be in while I've started as Alice, and I found that it doesn't super affect the flavor, but that texture change is what we're really looking for. And this is, becomes really rich and creamy, kind of like a cheesecake.
Ah, that sounds really good. Mm-hmm. So are you going to be doing a different recipe each month then?
I think with each campaign, we kind of look at a different recipe. I know looking forward, like we work with Wisconsin potato and vegetable growers, and so we do something with potatoes usually around like Super Bowl time. And so, yeah, we'll have some different recipes throughout the year that I'll be featuring.
Now, you mentioned cheese. I like cheese on my apple pie.
I have heard that. Yeah. I have not tried it yet.
Yeah, I would suggest that.
Yes.
And there are some apple pies where they actually have the cheese baked right in with the crust, too.
Really? That sounds delicious. I will have to try that next time I see it.
That's a tip for me there, so for what it's worth. So if anybody is listening and they're interested in having you visit, are they able to maybe have you visit their schools and things like that?
Yes, absolutely. I'm looking forward to doing a lot of school visits this fall. I love working with our youth. If you'd like to get Alice involved in your event or at your school, you can visit alicindairyland.com or you can email datcapalice@wisconsin.gov. That's DATCP alice@wisconsin.gov.
I know Ashley had a chance to travel. I think maybe even went overseas. Is that in the plans for you too, Haley?
I'm really hoping so. I'm not sure yet. There's nothing on the books. But yes, Ashley did get to go to China to represent Wisconsin ginseng, which is a really exciting opportunity for her. Although, you know, every year is different as Alice, and I've already gotten a number of wonderful opportunities to get to do something that not everyone gets to do. And so I'm really looking forward to all the possibilities for this year.
You work your home base out of Madison then, is that correct?
Yes. Most nights I'm home in Madison. As much as I can get home and sleep in my own bed as possible, I try. But about half the time I'm on the road overnight. And yeah, I stay in a hotel or with some family, and I get to really enjoy the area and kind of see more of the community in Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's probably the best way when you stay overnight in some of these communities and kind of learn more about them.
Last night I was overnight in La Crosse and I got to stop by the Pearl. If you're up that direction, I highly recommend it. I was told by some former Alices, if you're going to stay in La Crosse, you have to go to the Pearl. It's a 1930s themed ice cream parlor. They make all their ice cream themselves and they have those homemade waffle cones I was raving about.
Ooh.
And so it really is worth the stop. There was a line out the door on just a Wednesday night at like 7 p.m. So you can tell it was going to be delicious.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of neat to learn about some of those mom and pop places, isn't it?
Yes. My favorite places to stop are those really local, only in Wisconsin, only in that small town kind of places to stop by.
Yes, we're very fortunate. Looking ahead now, I know there's a lot going through your mind. You got a year to plan, but have you made plans for the future where you'd like to land in terms of a career, Haley?
I am putting my whole heart and soul towards being Alice right now. I'm only a few weeks in, and so I'm really excited to keep going through this year. I'm definitely keeping an open mind. My background's in the dairy industry, but I'm blessed as Alice to be able to learn about all the agriculture in Wisconsin, and I'm definitely very open-minded towards what industry I'll end up in in the end. I am very passionate about social media marketing, and I also enjoy crisis communications. So when the worst of the worst happens, how do we communicate that to the public in a way that doesn't induce panic, and we can show that we are doing the best we can to fix an issue?
Awesome. That sounds like a question you might have had at the pageant there, you know?
Yes, it's definitely one of those things like, oh, why are farmers doing this? Or when this happened in my community, why was it treated this way? And it's great to be able to kind of clear up any misconfusion or misunderstanding with the public.
It's amazing, too. Speaking of our dairy industry, how many farms are family-owned still?
Yes, about 95 to 96% of farms are family-owned in Wisconsin.
That's crazy.
It's wonderful.
Want to keep that tradition alive, don't we?
Absolutely. And it's all about bringing those young people into the agriculture industry. You know, even if a family farm doesn't necessarily have sons or daughters to take the farm over, I have definitely seen people apprentice into farms. And then eventually it's passed down that way and it gets passed into a new family. That's a great way for those first generation farmers out there to get involved.
Mm-hmm. Keep it going.
Absolutely.
No doubt about it. Great to see cows on grass this time of year.
And yes, I know. Else. Especially in Crawford County, they do a lot of the pasture-based with their cattle. It's very exciting to see the cows outside frolicking around. I love the nice weather.
No
I'm
doubt.
Sure they do, too.
Yeah, I'm sure they do, too. Mm-hmm. That's the beauty of summertime in Wisconsin,
isn't
it?
Oh, yes.
Good. Well, thanks for stopping by and seeing us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on.
We hope you'll come back from time to time when you're driving through the area. And
Definitely.
Great. And share with us some more recipes, too.
So. Absolutely. I will bring some next time as well.
Can people find those recipes online anywhere?
Yes. So for my recipe I'm featuring this month, you can find that at wisconsincheese.com. They'll also have some other recipes on there featuring Wisconsin dairy. And you can learn more about the stories behind the dairy products you're buying. If you'd like to participate from home, you can also make sure to look for that Proudly Wisconsin Dairy seal on all of your dairy products to ensure that you are buying genuine Wisconsin dairy.
Great tip there. And curd, too. That's a general favorite for all of us, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, I love cheese curds.
At room temperature.
You know, yep. Don't you got to get that squeak, right?
Yeah, get the squeak. That's a tip from Alice. Well, Haley, so nice to meet you. Continued success to you.
Thank you.
You bet. That's Haley Heinzel, the 77th Alice in Dairyland, joining us on the morning show today.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
This is Lynette from the Prescription Center. We want to thank all of our longtime friends who have put their trust in us to manage their family's health. We want to thank our increasing number of new friends who have learned just how special we treat our friends. We do realize you can go anywhere or use mail order. We want you to choose us every day. We know copays are the same for any pharmacy in town. However, we feel we provide a superior value for your dollars. If you find our prices higher, we will match prices for all medications. We check to see if any of your prescriptions have dollar off coupons from the manufacturer. These coupons actually put money back in your pocket. If your current pharmacy does not do this, give us a call. We know your time is valuable. When you call ahead, your prescriptions are ready when you stop. I guarantee you will never wait in our drive-thru. Okay, we do not have a drive-thru. The Family Prescription Center, where you and your family always come first.
Hi, this is Daniel Miller. O'Cooch Books and Libations, downtown Richland Center. Ever wonder what O'Cooch comes from? It comes from the O'Cooch Mountains, and we think it was put in there by Meriwether Lewis back in the 1833 Northwest Territories map. O'Cooch Mountains, right up there where Mount Tabor is in Richland County. You can go and check it out for yourself. But O'Cooch Books and Libations, named for the Native American tribe that was in the area back in the day when my family came here. O'Cooch Books and Libations, downtown Richland Center.
We need more people in Washington, D.C. who are willing to find middle ground with both parties to get things done for workers and families. I'm Katrina Shankland, and that's why I'm running to represent you in Congress. As a state representative, I've passed 225 bipartisan laws and got them signed by both Republican and Democratic governors. These were bills to make healthcare more affordable, lower prescription drug costs, and strengthen clean water laws and protect communities from cancer-causing chemicals. That's the kind of experience I'll bring to Washington to start making a difference right away. Because we need to expand abortion rights, grow our economy, and protect our democracy from extremists like radical Derek Van Orden. I'm the only Democrat running in Wisconsin's 3rd District who's ever held public office and passed bills to deliver results. I'm Katrina Shankland, and I approve this message because I'll work with anyone to get things done for you. Paid for by Katrina Shankland for Congress.
The House on the Rock attraction between Dodgeville and Spring Green has a wide variety of jobs for a wide variety of people. They are hiring for retail sales, hospitality positions, maintenance and upkeep, and admission openings. Apply now by calling 608-935-3639, extension 1201, or print an application at thehouseontherock.com. That's 608-935-3639, extension 1201, or visit houseontherock.com. Find your perfect job today.
Attention meat lovers, head to Richland Locker for unbeatable deals on top quality meats. This week, get fresh pork tenderloins for just $2.98 a pound, or try our marinated pork tenderloin at only $3.98 a pound. In the deli, savor the rich flavor of smoked pit ham at $6.48 a pound. And don't forget our delicious Swiss and baby Swiss cheese for just $5.98 a pound. Visit Richland Locker today, where quality meets affordability. Prices valid while supplies last.
It's time for the grooviest event of the summer at the Wisconsin State Fair. Good at the Wisconsin State Fair, presented by U.S. Cellular, August 1st through the 11th. Yeah, I'm
feeling good. Can you imagine what it must be like to have nowhere to turn as a young teen? This happens when parents struggle with addiction, maybe incarcerated, or unable to care for their child. And it's devastating. HALO is the foundation of a family for children without one, surrounding them with support, meeting their basic needs, and helping them set and reach their goals. With your support, homeless youth are given a chance at a better life. Go to haloworldwide.org today.
Coach Jamie Johnson joins us, WRCO. It's going to be not too far down the road. We're talking volleyball for all levels. Jamie, you want to talk about some camps today that are coming up, I'm sure.
Yeah, I just want to share with you on July 30th, we're doing a free clinic for 2nd through 6th graders. It's part of our Hornet Attack Pack program that we started last year. Just want to get the word out. And the Hornet Attack Pack would be more later in August, but it's just a free clinic. We'll have some players from the high school, age, you know, our freshmen through seniors. There'll be some there to work with the kids. So that'll run from 9 to 10:30 on July 30th. Again, it's free to anybody in the Richland School District. That is the one caveat. You be part of the Richland School District. But they'll be available there and just learn some basic skills, introduction to the sport. We've got the small or lighter volleyball, so those are a great opportunity for that. And then we also have, just want to put out to the word, you know, Ithaca's running a camp this year. You're talking about camps. Ithaca's running one August 6th through the 9th. And that's from 4 to 5:30 for their middle school age. And I'll be running the Ithaca's camp this year for them, and from 6 to 8 for the high school. And that's in August 6th to the 9th. Richland Center's camp, we run here. And that's in the brochure, in the park brochure. And you can contact me, but it's also on our Richland Center Facebook page or the Hornet volleyball page. That's August 12th through the 15th. And we have grades 2 through 5, 6 through 8. And then we have our high school session in the afternoon, 1:30 to 4. We've got an old alum, Carrie Lewis. Everyone knows her under the area. She's been an assistant with SOC and some other great programs, and kind of gets involved with Madtown club ball. And so she's going to be working the first 2 days, and her former head coach, Amy Schlegen, is going to be running Wednesday for us. I'm really excited about that. She's taken two teams, two different schools to state. And I would love to get her for more, but she's a hot commodity, one of the local gurus around here. And then Craig Baseman, again, popping back, who ran our camp last year from Royal, former Royal coach, and just an outstanding program. So it's nice that we have an opportunity for that, our girls to experience some different voices, different techniques, and just kind of a tune-up, you know, getting ready for our season. Speaking of tune-up for our season, we also have our preseason meeting that we'd like to get the word out on to. It's going to be July 31st for Richland Center High School Volleyball. It's not the middle school, but the high school. It'll be 5:30, start at the Commons. If the athletes cannot make it, the parent and athlete needs to make up a time and to be there, you know, ideally before tryouts. So we want to have it a little bit earlier this year so we make sure everybody gets their impact testing done, physicals in, waivers, all that stuff, get that information out, even kind of start to do some of the fundraising opportunities too. And then we start, all the schools around the area start August 19th. It's a little bit later start date, but we'll be, you know, doing our tryouts that week. We've got a huge number signed up in the spring, so we're looking forward to that. And we'll be, you know, running our tryouts later in the evening. That first week there, starting from 5 to 8, you know, on the 19th. So a lot of dates for you, you know, with that, but just a lot of great volleyball opportunities in the area.
With the season starting a little later, I notice football as well is starting just a little bit later. I don't know if it's because of the calendar or what, but I think that probably bodes well for participation, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. It definitely is one of those years where it rolls back, because I know sometimes we go that on Alaska term as early as the 23rd or 24th, and this year it's the 28th and 29th, so it gets a little bit closer. Labor Day is kind of, you know, would normally when our tournament would be. We're not doing that this year. We moved it back just for that space. We didn't want to do two-day tournament, one day off, and another tournament. So yeah, it's definitely a little bit starter, so hopefully more kids will get involved, knowing that they don't have to be there quite as early before school starts. Again, we got close to 50 kids signed up this spring, you know, for our volleyball program. So, you know, we're going to have a fun, intense week and kind of go through that the best we can.
What are some things coming up with these the camps and the different things you have coming up? What are some particular things you like to see the girls accomplish before the season actually starts?
Yeah, some of it is just keeping the rust off their skills and kind of coming together. You know, they've been able to play in a league in Valley this year, like our girls in particular, and some have joined on a Sunday night league here. WIA is changing the way they're enforcing or interpreting the rules this year, kind of set out the same guidelines. So it kind of threw a curveball to everybody this summer, I'll be honest. A lot of the programs and leagues and some schools that used to be a 6 or 7 week league now can only be 5 because it counts as all their contact days because they're using the school. So hopefully that can get cleaned up by next year a little bit. But we're hoping that, you know, that they can get together, start working on some of those new combinations, whether it be plays or just rotations. I mean, those are things, you know, what's always hit and miss. So we'd love to start to see them try to get comfortable with who they're playing around or who they might be playing around. Those are some of those things. For us, you know, that first HAP or a free clinic for the kids, just introduce them to a great sport. We think it's very popular here. It's very popular across the state. The Wisconsin Badger volleyball team definitely has even helped that, but it was even very popular before that. And so for us to be able to do that, you know, to have those kind of numbers as our numbers are declining is still showing that the game's a very popular game. Our program's something that they want to be a part of. So we just want to introduce those girls, get them some skills, and then have an opportunity to tell them about some opportunities for them, you know, over the next month or two as well. In the camp, you know, it's just great for, we want them to accomplish, to hear maybe a new technique, maybe something that clicks with them, maybe something they've heard me say time and time and time again. And all of a sudden, Amy comes in and says it, and light bulb clicks, you know, because she's a pro from another area, you know, the professional. She comes from more than 50 miles away, as they always say, in any field. She's going to be an outstanding coach. She got to watch our varsity, some of the girls play one night against her daughter, and she was taking notes, and she was asking some things. So we're just excited about her level of knowledge. And I just, to be honest with you, I can't wait for lunch, you know, with her. I want to pick her brain and she's been there, done that. And I think as a coach, you always want to keep evolving, keep learning. That keeps things fresh for the kids too.
You talked about participation, and I know it's kind of dropped over the state in girls basketball, and the numbers have kind of gone over to volleyball a little bit more, it seems.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, too, the club volleyball season runs a lot during the winter, and so that has been that competition, you know, with basketball. I personally have said this for years and years and years. I think the basketball season is just such a long season, and it's during the hard part of the year where it's dark. So you go to school, you may have practice right after school, so you may not see the light of day, literally, in some schools. And it's almost like a 4-month season. Psychologically, it starts early November, December, January, February, you play into March. I was always a proponent. WIA wrote them a letter one day about drop in participation. I said, I would just love if they would start basketball December 1st. You know, avoid deer hunting. It's a national holiday in a sense around here. You know, it's the state, you know, it's almost as big as Thanksgiving. You have Thanksgiving to deal with. It's just hard to get going in that. And so if all of a sudden you could start December 1st, it gives the kids a break between the seasons. And then you psychologically, I think it would help them just thinking, oh, it's December, January, February is a short month. I can do this. And I think more kids would participate. WIA's response is, well, you can do that. You can start your season, but, you know, getting the games in and it's not a level playing field. But it is a growing sport, volleyball. We love it. It's a lot of the kids wish the season was longer. They enjoy it, but I think it's just that perfect window. Kind of like anything, you always want a little bit more. You know, a good highlight tape is where you want more, and if you have too long of a highlight tape, it kind of gets boring or dry. And I think that's kind of what the volleyball season is, just that right niche where people are excited, they're hungry, they're passionate, and they don't want it to end. But yet if it went a little bit longer, they might feel differently about it too.
For the youngsters coming in and getting some things, I think the big thing is just introducing them to the proper technique, the proper skills, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So they can get that at the clinic. We'll have this Hornet Attack Pack where they'll have 2 days in August where they'll come in and work with the varsity kids and be part of our varsity practice. And then they can sign up and be part of being ball shaggers during the varsity match, be part of our introduction. So we're trying to introduce the one hive climate and the Hornet pride culture and the expectations and just kind of build excitement. So if they can get involved and be a ball girl or do something, you know, at a young age, it just builds that excitement. They're coming to the games. They see the high level of play, you know, that we hope to put out there year after year. It just helps them with that. And again, then they can fine tune it, get in those a lot of club sports or teams are around the area, not just Hornet Stars, but there's a Western Elite and others ones, you know, so it is opportunities. So it is a great chance for them. And if they come to our camp, they get a chance to meet myself and some former players or other people, again, learning the Hornet way and how we want to learn how we teach the technique and just ingrain that early on. And then it becomes second nature by the time they get to high school.
How can people sign up or find out more information once again, Jamie?
Yeah, so you can contact me. You can find me on Facebook, Jamie Johnson, or you can go to our Richland Center Hornet Volleyball page. We have some of those documents there posted in our feed. You can contact us there. You can also contact me through the school. Our school email at johj@richland.k12.wi.us. So a lot of different ways. And the park brochure does have the camp information as well. And you can get a hold of Coach Young out at Ithaca. If you're in Ithaca area, have a child interested, 6th through senior, you know, seniors, contact her. And she'd be sending out some information as well. But they can reach out to them as well.
Sounds good. Well, here's to a good season. We'll be talking to you a bit, probably a little over a month.
Yep, about a month. We're looking forward to it.
Get it rolling. You bet. Jamie Johnson joining us on WRCO. The stage is set. The costumes are sewn. The orchestra is all in tune. Now there's only one thing the community players need for their production of The Music Man.
And it's your got to go, dear, that gets me down.
Yes, it's you. Please come see The Music Man shows July 26th, 27th, and 28th, as well as August 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, Friday and Saturday shows at 7, and Sunday shows at 2 o'clock. Tickets are $20 for adults, $15 for children, and $60 for two adults and four or more children. Come see The Music Man and find out why there is trouble in River City.
And it's you.
Fencing, hunting, as sure as real work requires breaking a sweat, John Deere Gator utility vehicles work as tough and play as hard as you do. Find your Gator at Hillsboro Equipment because you don't need just any side-by-side. You need a cargo box that performs under stress and extreme conditions and an engine that hustles with or without a full load in the back. Run with us on a Gator UTV from Hillsboro Equipment, Boston Equipment, or Slama's Lawn and Sport.
New windows add value and comfort to your home.
PMI Windows of Lone Rock knows windows. Windows is all they do. PMI will help you custom tailor premium vinyl windows for your home to maximize your heating and cooling savings while giving you the look, feel, and the function you desire, all with the industry's best lifetime, no-nonsense, transferable warranty. Call 583-7200 to schedule your free estimate from PMI Windows of Lone Rock.
Our morning show get-together continues with some community conversation, and I didn't have to go far to find my next guest. Bo Hendricks is here. How you doing, Bo?
Hey, how you doing, Phil? The seat's warm and everything. Thank you.
Absolutely. We've had lots of guests in here today, but you and I wanted to get together and talk a little bit about the upcoming Grace Radio Auction, which already is next week.
It's hard to believe, you know, but I'm excited. I know you're excited. You know, we're bringing back the auction in a bigger way than we did last year, even.
Yeah, we kind of tested the waters last year and got along with it really well. So the items will be at the Grace office. We're just kind of orchestrating the auction, facilitating that, getting some bids, trying to get some money raised for Grace this year. And you've had a chance to see the list of what we're selling. There are some outstanding things, aren't there?
People really stepped up this year. You know, I mean, I think the items that we'll be presenting are going to be something that there's a little of something for everybody, and some really interesting ones too that I'm looking forward to having people kind of bid on, look at, and hopefully we'll raise a lot of money for Grace.
We'll hope so. So we're working with Adam Hess as well. He's a part of the promotion, and what can you tell us about what Adam's been working on?
So Adam's been working on the schedule. You know, you and I have put together the items all came in. We made a schedule for each day, Monday through Friday, and what Adam's doing is he's going to get that up on our social media on the WRCO Facebook page. Stay tuned. Keep looking on our Facebook page, and we'll get that up for you. And what you're going to see is kind of like a preview of the items. We're going to get some pictures up there, but we're also going to get up a schedule. So you're going to be able to take a look at that schedule and plan out, you know, oh, I like that item. It's on Monday. That's when I'm going to want to be tuned in. On top of that, you know, what we're going to try to do is push the fact that bidders, you'll be able to bid now again, but we'll be taking bidder numbers. This isn't going to be like last year where you would just call in a, you know, your bid. We only had a couple items, so it was a lot easier to just take a call. This year, we're going back kind of to the bidder number. And so registration will be open for that, and that will be open actually as of the end of the morning show. You'll be able to call our line at 647-4155. Michael Hernan, our own intern here, will be taking those calls, get you your bidder registration number if you want to do it early. You can do it during the auction itself, but you can get ahead of the game and do it early. You can call him, he'll get you your bidder number, and then Monday, just make sure you have that bidder number ready if you did pre-register, and you can start out right out the gate.
Makes it a lot easier. Let's say I'm number 20, so to speak. Okay, so I'm number 20, and I'll bid $5 on the maple syrup, or whatever it is that I'm bidding on.
Exactly. And then on the day of, you know, we'll have some people here taking those calls. You'll call in, you'll give your bid, and you'll give your bidder number. We'll write that down, and then, yeah, we'll let you know. You'll be on the air, obviously, but I'll also be here, and we'll let people know, okay, the bid is at 100, and then, you know, do you want to go 105? We kind of feel like the $5 range is a pretty good, range of, you know, at least making sure somebody is bidding, you know, five more. You don't want to get into that whole, like, 1 cent more thing, so... Anyway, though, all the money going to Grace, so everything is appreciated. And all of our sponsors that have donated items so graciously, there's just such a great collection. I can't say enough. You guys really put together a nice auction.
Well, we say hats off to a lot of the merchants and businesses and individuals who have given every year. And so if you've given an item, we kind of went into committee, and some will be in the bucket raffle the night of Grace, which is August 9th. Some will be in the silent auction. There are just some items that probably go better when you see them in person. Mm-hmm. That's how we kind of try to make that decision. So something like a handmade item, it's hard to do justice sometimes, even with a picture. So
if it's there and in person at the silent auction, you can say, okay, that's what I want. You know, you can bid on it. Same thing with a bucket raffle. You can, they'll have a bunch of items there and you'll buy a ticket and say, okay, I'd like to choose any of those items or whatever. You might have your eye on one. And so it works out well that way. A lot of the radio auction items are some of the ones that have been very popular in the past. Practical items that maybe you need, you're going to buy anyway. Some things like
gift certificates.
Gift certificates go well for area businesses. Some hay. There'll be some hay. There's some firewood in there for the radio auction. Those have gone extremely well. And just some, maybe some surprises along the way, too.
No kitchen sink, but I think maybe a fire hydrant. So, you know, water.
Yeah, we have one of those this year, right?
Yeah.
From the Richland Center City Utility, we have another one of those beautiful fire hydrants. I know that have gone real well in the past.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll try to work that out. So what it will be is we'll have a handful of items each half hour. The radio auction runs all week next week, starting Monday through Friday from 10 until noon. So a handful of items each half hour. And then they'll go off sale. Like, let's say they'll start at 10. They'll go off sale at 10:30. We'll introduce you to more items. They'll be on sale till 11. There will be two larger or major items each day. So there'll be a large item that'll be on sale for an hour total, mm-hmm. from 10 to 11, and another from 11 to noon. So, yeah, we're going to be selling a few more items and products this year. There is not a live in-person auction with an auctioneer this year. Grace and the people that were kind of organizing that last year thought it was maybe a time to take a year off, out of suggestion, maybe kind of not go to the well too often, maybe come back with it next year or the following year. But so we're kind of doing some of the selling, not that we're auctioneers, but we're going to try to facilitate a successful auction. So.
Yeah, I don't think I could speak that fast.
No, we can talk fast, but not that fast.
Not that fast. That's a talent right there. But no, like you said, you know, they'll be busted up into segments. So you'll have each half hour segment from 10 to noon. So really, you have the 10 to 10:30, the 10:30 to 11, the 11 to 11:30, and the 11:30 to noon. Now, those segments will each have items. Outside of that, then you have the two large items. So there'll be one that's from 10 to 11, and one that's from 11 to noon. So a lot of great items. And like you said, you know, maybe the auction itself is something that's taken a year off, but that gives us the chance to step up and to feature a lot of these items. But like you said, also, the items that may not make it to the radio auction, it doesn't mean they're not as important. I agree. I think some of those things you have to go and see. Like when you start talking about quilts, you start talking about things that people, you know, really put a lot of time and effort into. You got to see them to really appreciate them. But a lot of these items you can look at and, you know, get a good view for what you're getting yourself into. Maybe you like to shop at a food place and they have a gift certificate. Hey, you can support Grace and get, you know, that money to go to a place you were already going to go. And so those kind of items are going to work really well in the radio auction.
We have pictures for quite a few of them, or we will have, mm-hmm. certainly. I know Adam's working diligently to get those ready to go for us. And again, the list is going to be on the WRCO Facebook site, too.
Yep. So stay tuned to that. Again, our Facebook page, WRCO on Facebook. You'll be able to see, we'll get a schedule up, and we'll have pictures. And so you'll be able to take a look at those things, kind of plan that out. And again, bidder lines, you know, if you want to pre-register your bidder number, you can do so starting at 10. You can call 647-4155, our contest line. You can call that. Michael Hernan will be standing by. Actually, I think he'll be sitting by, but he'll take your call. He'll take your number, your phone number, your name, and then he'll give you a bidder number. So if you do want to pre-register, that's open, but you can also do so during the week. Don't feel like you have to do it right now. Maybe you haven't decided, you haven't looked at the schedule, obviously. So, you know, maybe you don't know yet if you do want to, but once you see that schedule, I think you're going to want to.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too. Right. So, and it kind of speeds up the process a little bit, and we'll be open there. You can call pretty much anytime someone is here during the day, especially even during this weekend. We'll have some people around. So,
yeah. I think you'll be here Saturday.
I think I might be here, too. So, so call whenever you can. We're going to talk about Grace tomorrow on the morning show. The three ambassadors this year will be talking a little bit about their story. So we have Jackie DeAger, we have Marge Benson, and we we have Tara Weitzel, and they'll all be talking. We'll feature some of their comments tomorrow during a morning show time. It's our normal time. We usually feature a Grace Morning Show once a month, and tomorrow is the day. So be listening for that during that time and hear their stories. And again, the actual walk is coming up on Friday night, August 9th.
Already here.
It'll be here before we know it.
Yeah.
So
crazy, time flies.
Crazy stuff. Yeah. And so we'll be keeping you posted and letting you know when those things are up and running. And anything else you'd like to add today, Bo?
You know, as the great Henry Bray would, well, as Henry Bray would say, you know, everybody be kind.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you stole his line. Oh, well. Sounds good. Bo Hendricks, thanks a lot. And we'll be telling you more about the Grace Auction here on WRCO Radio as our days leading up to that. Again, it begins on Monday. Rockwell Automation in Richland Center is more than just a company. They are a part of this community. The team is made up of coaches, board members, firefighters, and EMS. Rockwell is proud to support and serve neighbors every day, both in and out of the workplace. What they are asking from the community is, if you are a part of a nonprofit organization or 501(c) and have opportunities for Rockwell employees to partake in, please contact them as they would love to partner with your organization. The team is looking for volunteering and donation opportunities within the surrounding communities. If you would like to partner with Rockwell Automation or have any questions, please call them at 647-9400. They look forward to extending their community involvement. Rockwell Automation, ingrained in the community, dedicated to making a difference.
Can you believe the next heating season is just a few months away? Hi, this is Amanda from Meyer Oil & LP. With a busy summer season, don't forget to call and get your summer fill. Or if you're considering a new fuel provider, please call and talk with one of our friendly office staff at 608-524-3914. Call today and join the Meyer Oil & LP family.
Coach Johnson here again, and it's officially summertime. How are you feeling about your health journey? If you'd like to discuss some options, contact Jamie Johnson on Facebook. You can also call or text him at 608-604-7751. That's 604-7751 to discuss different programs. Working out is optional and not required with the different plans, though it is helpful. Reach out and start a conversation and consider making changes with your health today. Why wait?
Attention farmers and folks in need of quality supplies. Engine Creek Farm Store has got you covered. Located at 11678 Yuba Drive, Hillsboro, Wisconsin, Engine Creek Farm Store is your local oasis for all things farm and machinery supplies. From essential tools to supplies that keep your farm running smoothly, they've got it all. And guess what? Engine Creek Farm Store goes beyond the farm. You can also pick up some rugged clothes and boots for those hardworking days. Give them a call at 608-528-4001.
WRCO is once again proud to host the Walk with Grace radio auction. We will hold it on air July 29th through August 2nd from 10 a.m. to 12 noon each day with two bidding windows each hour. We have outstanding items lined up once again for you to bid on. Each day, Phil Nee will talk about the items as he opens the bidding window. However, if you follow WRCO Radio on Facebook, you will have access to an items list a full 10 minutes before each bidding session is opened by Phil. Stop by Facebook today to view our list of fabulous donation partners.
Thank you, Michael. And again, you can call in. We'll open it up if you'd like to get your bidder number in advance of the Grace Auction. Don't have to, but if you want to kind of get ahead of the game, 608-647-4155. It is 68 degrees at WRCO Radio around the bend today. Our update from ABC News.
Looking for unique and affordable treasure hunt? The Family Thrift Shop has you covered. Discovered sewing patterns for just 25 cents. Vinyl records for a dollar, CDs, VHS tapes, DVDs, craft supplies, wedding decorations, books, magazines, and more. Got a recent grad heading off to college? We've got everything you need, except furniture, to furnish that dorm or first apartment. Come and shop where your dollars go further and also help support your local community. The Family Thrift Shop, 120 South Main Street. Open Wednesday through Friday, 9 to 5, and Saturdays, 10 to 4. See you there! get ready for the Plane, Fire, and EMS celebration. Join the fun this weekend for a weekend packed with fun and excitement. Kicking off Friday night, groove to live music from High Mileage. Enjoy live entertainment, delicious food, and refreshing cold drinks all weekend long. Bring the family for a youth baseball tournament, volleyball, beanbags, and inflatables for the kids. On Sunday, savor a mouth-watering chicken barbecue starting at noon, and don't miss the grand parade at 11 a.m. Saturday night, Sean Shell will perform from 4 to 7 p.m., followed by Cherry Pie from 8 to 11. Plus, kids can enjoy a pedal pole and fire truck rides. It's the Plane, Fire, and EMS celebration, July 26th through 28th. Be there for an unforgettable weekend.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Uvalde, Texas Police Officer Adrian Gonzalez.